This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
How are they going to get to a court date on this if the investigation is basically endless? Do we just start charging him with this batch and then we'll have another batch later on, but let's get it rolling? Or at some point, I mean, do you think this will actually ever even make it to court as a trial, or is this just going to get so overwhelming that he's going to have to plead at some point?
It depends. It depends on if there's a mental defect defense. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when you have, like with Gacy, you know, you had 27 bodies buried in his crawl space, right? So pretty powerful circumstantial evidence, right? Like you feel, yeah, there's the presumption of innocence, but you feel pretty secure that unless he's hosting, you know, an off-book funeral parlor or graveyard telling, oh, you know, if you're a murderer, you could bury, I mean, which, so, I mean, with this guy, it's kind of the same thing wherein you're going to, I don't know, man. I don't know if they'll, like, they can't reel back the investigation. So, no. I mean, today what happened was what they call a superseding indictment. So they added it to the bunch, right? So this is added to, is that going to buy his attorney time? But again, it's like, if they're not going to go with a mental defect defense and with the evidence that they put together being so powerful thus far, it seems idiotic for him to go to trial, but these guys seem to like to go to trial. You know, for like they I don't know if it's because of that whole narcissistic, they relish the limelight, you know, but they just seem to go to trial because they think that it builds onto their legend, their sick, warped legend. You know, but and it's always an interesting thing because theoretically, the defense could file a motion to sever all of the charges and force multiple trials because none of these crimes took place at the same time. I mean, it was the thing with Gacy. You had 6 years of crimes. All of these young men were killed on different dates and different years at different locations. So you don't have the typical earmarks of things that allow you to, you know, try multiple counts that may have taken place, like it may be a different location, but were connected, you know, at the same time. I mean, there's an argument that they should be severed, but you know, no one wants, the state certainly doesn't want to have to try each of these individually. And I don't necessarily know the defense does either, but you know, from the defense side of it, you have to look at it as, okay, they've got powerful, powerful evidence on cases A, B, and C, not so much on D and E. You know, and what they're going to do is they're going to use that powerful evidence on the cases that they have the powerful evidence on to bootstrap it to the weaker cases if they try it all at the same time. That's that's always the argument we make in terms of severance, you know. So I have a feeling that they're going to reset a trial date. Whatever date set's going to get kicked again because obviously there's going to be a ton of new information coming in. You know, and I mean, it could, like, he's incarcerated, you know what I mean? Like the difference between him being in prison, and while they still do have the death penalty in New York, they haven't used it in forever. Maybe they dusted off for this guy. I don't know. But you know, in terms of,
if he's crossing state lines though on this, doesn't that put him more into federal territory as well? If he's crossing state lines on some of this,
it certainly could. I mean, like if yeah. Serial killers could always be, as long as they're crossing state lines, which we know he has. If this thing hits in Nevada, which we're still waiting on the DNA from that, you know, his trip out to Nevada, you know, I mean, the feds could step in, but they're not going to step on Tierney's toes. I mean, they know they're doing a pretty good job here, you know, and if the state's taking care of it, the feds don't need to step in and try it, you know. But yeah, in theory, with those, that state line thing definitely gives the feds jurisdiction.
It's starting to feel reminiscent of BTK in a way of like, okay, we're finding more and more out. It's going to be interesting to see how Huron plays it. If he ever does fess up to any of this, or if he does finally say, yeah, I did this, but you know, you don't know about the other ones. And then, you know, years and years later, I mean, as going on right now, there's a lot of hinting at activity that there may be some others that were unsolved that are about to get some limelight here. I feel like this is going to be the same sort of thing where eventually he will get to trial, will be found guilty, but they're going to keep unearthing more and more and more. And what are we going to see happen at that point?
Well, I mean, the question is does this guy have a shred of humanity? Like, once he's convicted and never seeing the light of day again, you know, I mean, is he capable of having the humanity if he has committed a ton more of these things to give the families that tiny bit of closure,
yeah,
you know, that they deserve at the very least? You know, probably not. These guys just have a tendency to not, for whatever reason, I don't know. I think that they're just incapable of it. Mm-hmm. You know, that part of their psyche does not exist that separates them from normal people.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder how much of a cat and mouse game this guy is going to want to play, you know, the same way that Dennis Rader has, still is to this day. I just saw some of his letters, just brand new letters, just the other day, off the record, that from people that I know that are investigating this, and he's still putting out little clues and shit, and no humanity there, but just enjoys the spectacle of what they are and their, you know, their legacy. Like, this is their legacy, and they and they like this.
Their warped sense of legacy, you know, and like in their minds, it's like, and it's strange because a majority of them are just like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It seems to be a running theme with these guys. And it's, which always leads me down that path of, you know, how much, you know, cause the challenge, like my dad, when he tried the Gacy case, you know, that was an insanity defense. Mm-hmm. And you can't objectively look at a dude who's got a graveyard under his house and hosts huge parties with politicians and lawyers and hoity-toities from the area over the course of years, and for all intents and purposes is a completely normal guy, much more ingrained into society than even Rader.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the guys that they've talked about that were, you know, kind of like under the radar, but out there. Like, Gacy was like up in people's business. Like, he was the scariest of them to me just because of how he was. And you have to know that he's broken, like no normal person, but they can't quantify it.
But is that there insane is no, or is that just really, you know, calculated? And this is what he wants to do. This is what he's into.
Or is he's that compelled.
Insane? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. Like, we know jack shit about the human mind, to be honest with
you. No.
Like, we go, like, we just don't. Like, we just don't have that capability scientifically to understand it. I mean, I'm telling you, Tony, I've been practicing law for 20 years, and it's just now that prosecutors' offices are acknowledging that mental health and mental illness is a primary cause of why most people commit crimes. Now, obviously, most of the time it's not serial murdering, but like, it's addiction and mental illness are always somewhere at play. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about normal folks that go unhinged and, you know, do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. And with these guys, something's broken.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And whether it's a nature or nurture question or a combination of both, whether they're born broken, or whether they're born partially broken and then are made totally broken by an abusive parent. Or, I mean, it's just, I think there's things that could be learned from it, you know, like, but people want justice and in the form of justice that people want is not these guys going to mental health facilities and trying to be fixed. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's no one's idea of justice. And it's so hard to convince a jury that it is, you know?
Well,
it's,
I mean, like, then you get to the, I mean, like, can you fix them? I'd love to get more to the front end of it and go, how do we recognize this sort of behavior before they get there? How do we recognize it in kids? How do we do that? And let's look at all of these as a case study, and hopefully our kids or grandkids or great grandkids have a better place to live in where these sort of things can be picked out earlier. And healed or remediated so it doesn't turn into this insanity.
Right, because if you want to be like nuts and bolt about it, like because of the difficulty in the modern era, because of technology and the fact that we're all on the grid all the time, like the, you know, the concept of serial killers as we've known them for the past 40 years is going to vanish. Mm-hmm. It's going to be too difficult. So what the new era serial killer is, are the spree killers. Mm-hmm. Those are the same kids that would probably more likely than not grow up to be serial killers. And instead what they're doing is shooting up groups of people all at one time.
Yeah.
You know, like, so it's like that same broken mind is still there, but you know, just the ability to be able to actually do the deeds has become so much more difficult. Like my producer and I, Darren, always had this debate when we were doing our Gacy season. We're like, if Gacy's active now, like, honestly, like how many do you think that he's getting away with? And these were like, you know, there was some misconception that this was all wayward kids that were out street walking, and it wasn't. It was kids that worked for him. It was kids that had good families. One of the kids, you know, father was a lieutenant in the Chicago Police Department. These were kids that were loved and wanted and like were known to be missing. And you know, it's like now we know what happens. A kid goes missing, we're all getting Amber Alerts on our phone. Like it is just not the same era in terms of the ability for these guys to be able to do that. And, you know, so then it's like, okay, well, maybe they're going to focus on sex workers because, you know, nobody cares about them. Well, I don't believe that either. Mm-hmm. I think that sex workers are human beings trying to struggle through and make a living. And they've got plenty of people that love them. You know what I mean? Point being, it's just really, really hard to get away with it now.
Yeah.
And like, I just think that now what we see are these school shootings where these kids are broken.
Yeah.
They're committing these. I mean, you see Ethan Crumbly, like how that kid, you look at his journal, that kid's broken. Yeah. I don't give a shit what anybody says. Oh, that completely. Kid is mentally broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah. It's a matter of getting in and getting ahead of that. How we do it.
Yeah. How do we do it?
That's the question.
A million-dollar question, man. Yeah.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.